This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We covered the story of the Islam of Dhimad and Amr bin Absa. We move on to the story of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. I'm going to mention to you the Imam Ahmad version. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu stated that me, my brother and my mother left our land of Ghifar because our people used to be disrespectful of the Ashhur al-Hurum. Al-Ashhur al-Hurum are 4 months in which the Arabs used to consider sacred, and this would give them a break from warfare. So they would not allow killing, war during those 4 months. And it was a firm tradition among them that you do not break the sanctity of these 4 months. The people of Ghifar were different. These were professional raiders of caravans. They didn't care about Ashhur al-Haram and all of this stuff. They were Bedouins who would raid caravans, steal, kill, corrupt, and they didn't follow any rules or customs. These were the people of Ghifar. And they had a bad reputation in Arabia. I mean, people in Arabia knew Ghifar. These people don't abide by any rules, violent. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, before Islam, he disagreed with this style of life. So he, his brother and mother decided to leave Ghifar, just go out. So they went and they visited an uncle of theirs who used to be a member of a different tribe. And they stayed with him, and Abu Dharr says he was very generous and hospitable to us. Very kind. But his relatives were becoming jealous. How come he's treating us so well? So what they did, they went up to the uncle of Abu Dharr and they told him, when you are absent, Unais, Abu Dharr's brother, he goes and visits your wife. And he's interested in her. The uncle, quite naively, he went to Abu Dharr and Unais and mentioned to them what he heard. He said, people are saying that Unais is interested in my wife. Abu Dharr was very angry and upset. This was false. He was very angry and he said, all of the good that you have done to us, you have cancelled it. All of your hospitality, your kindness is gone after this accusation of yours. And immediately packed up and left. Abu Dharr said, my uncle was quite sorry and regretful for what he's done, and he wrapped himself in a cloth and was crying. But Abu Dharr said, we were so angry and we just left. And now they settled in a place close to Mecca. Abu Dharr says that my brother Unais went to do some business in Mecca, and he met a man who claims to be a prophet. He met Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Unais came back and he said, I found the man who is preaching a new religion, worshipping Allah alone. Abu Dharr said, and at that time, I have already worshipped Allah for 3 years and revoked all of the worshipping of idols. I renounced it. Subhanallah, you see these people, their fitrah guides them and tells them that this is wrong, this is false. Abu Dharr says, I've been praying to Allah for 3 years. So Abu Dharr was asked, how were you praying to Allah? He said, I would pray to whichever direction Allah would point me to, and I would pray in whatever way Allah would guide me to, and I would pray at night until I fall asleep, and only the sun would wake me up in the morning. So he would pray. He doesn't know how to pray, but he would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 3 years. Abu Dharr asked his brother Unais, he said, what does he teach? So Unais mentioned some of the teachings of Islam that he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he asked him, what are the people saying about him? Unais said, they're claiming that he's a sorcerer, a magician, a liar, and he went down the list. Abu Dharr said, ما أشفيت غليذي. You haven't satisfied my hunger. I want to go and investigate the matter myself. What the people say might not necessarily be right. The media of Mecca, the CNN of the day, or the ABC, or whatever you call it, had all of these labels that they would brand Rasulullah ﷺ with, but Abu Dharr did not have trust in what the people are saying. He would have to go and meet Rasulullah ﷺ and hear it from the messenger himself. And that is what a Muslim is required to do. تَبَيَّنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you receive some information, verify it. تَبَيَّنُوا. And that's where our scholars learned the science of hadith. They would verify. It's not just enough to hear a hadith narrated from someone. The scholars used to say, هَاتُوا رِجَالَكُمْ أَوْ سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Whenever they would hear a hadith, they would say, mention the names of your men. Where did you hear this from? Tell us the names. We want to know who you got this information from. We just don't follow any hearsay.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave is closest to his Lord when he is prostrating, so increase supplication in it. O Allah, I seek of you paradise and that word and deed which draws me near to it. And I seek refuge in you from the fire and that word and deed which draws me near to it. I beg of you that you should make every decree good for me, and I beg of you that whatever you have decreed, you make its end come right.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back.
Abu Dharr, he said, I went into Mecca and I asked the first man I saw in front of me, I told him, can you please guide me towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said that man immediately started calling the men of Quraysh and they started pelting me with stones, rocks, whatever they could get their hands on until I fell unconscious. He said, by the time I woke up, I was like Nusub Ahmar. Nusub, the people of Quraysh, they used to have these stones, idols, which they would slaughter and sacrifice their animals over. So they would be soaked with blood. That is the description Abu Dharr gave himself, like a red pole, soaked with blood from head to toe. He said, so I went to the well of Zamzam, I drank water and I washed the blood off my body. And then I went next to Al-Kaaba. In the narration of Imam Ahmad, it says that he stayed there for 30 days, not knowing where to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Dharr said, I did not have any food for the entire period, except for drinking the water of Zamzam. Now, I think physicians can tell us that a person can survive by drinking water for quite a while. So maybe that's not such a surprise, but the surprising thing is what comes next. Abu Dharr said, and I started picking up weight until I was getting folds on my stomach. You know, for them, the Bedouins, they would have flat tummies and they were very fit. Abu Dharr said, I was gaining weight and now the flesh on my stomach was folding. You know when you sit down and the flesh on the stomach folds? Abu Dharr states that he then saw two women making tawaf and they would touch Isaf and Na'ilah on every turn. What's the story of Isaf and Na'ilah? Isaf and Na'ilah are a man and a woman who were in love and they couldn't get married and they had an appointment, a date to meet next to Al-Kaaba. And they intended to fornicate next to the house of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them into stones on the spot. After the passage of some time, the mushrikeen of Quraysh started worshipping them. Started worshipping these two stones, Isaf and Na'ilah. To show you how when you open the floodgate for shaitan, you can't close it. He just throws you in dungeons of darkness. You can never get out of it, it's a spiral. If you get in, you never come out. Darkness over darkness, one veil after another. Now, the story of idol worshipping actually started as erecting statues after righteous men died. Shaitan came to the people of Noah, then told them after the righteous men have passed away, why don't you erect statues of these righteous men so that they would remind you about Allah? He came to teach them good. He said they would remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did that. And then after a few generations, he started telling them, worship them. That's how the idol worshipping grew. So here you have Isaf and Na'ilah being worshipped. And these two women would make tawaf and they would touch Isaf and Na'ilah on every turn. Now Abu Dharr, he despised idol worshipping. So he threw out a comment. He said, why don't you make one of them have intercourse with the other? Either the woman did not understand what he said, or they didn't believe what they heard, they continued. When Abu Dharr saw that his words did not deter them, he threw out an even cruder comment. And I'm not going to mention it. Now the women were sure of what they heard, they immediately just started running and screaming, wailing down the streets of Mecca. And who did they run into? Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr are seeing these two women running in the streets screaming, what's wrong with you? They said, that heretic over there, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what's the matter with him? They said, he spoke a word that fills the mouth. تملأ الفم. In other words, something that is unspeakable. Very bad words. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr, they went to meet this man, Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, and they started the conversation. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Abu Dharr, where are you from? من أين الرجل؟ قال أنا من غفار. He said, I am from غفار. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم placed his hand on his forehead. Abu Dharr said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was surprised and amazed to see somebody from غفار coming to Mecca in search of the truth. From Ghifar, these people who raid caravans, the ones who do not follow any rules or any customs, and he is searching for the truth in Mecca, and the people of Mecca, the ones who are considered to be the religious authority of Arabia, are rejecting my message. فَكَرِهَا أَنْ انْتَسَبْتُ إِلَىٰ Ghifar. Abu Dharr said, I felt that he might have disliked that I mentioned that I'm from Ghifar. So I extended my hand to pull his hand from his forehead. Abu Dharr said, Abu Bakr slammed my hand and told me, put your hand down. And then the conversation continued and Abu Dharr ended up embracing Islam. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abu Dharr, اكتم إيمانك, keep your iman secret. Abu Dharr, he went out the next day, rather than keeping his iman secret, he went in front of the people of Quraysh and said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. He doesn't care about the consequences. He said, they gathered around me and they beat me up so bad, I was gonna die. Until Al-Abbas bin Abd al-Muttalib came in and said, do you know where this man is from? Just one question. He is from Ghifar. Abu Dharr said, immediately they just ran away. All what you would see is them fleeing, running away from him. But he did the same thing the next day. And he did the same thing the third day. And every day the same thing would happen, they would come and beat him up until Al-Abbas comes and tells this new group of people who are hitting him that the man is from Ghifar. Al-Abbas said, and you know, if this man gets killed, by you that none of your trade will make it safely to Syria. They're going to take revenge of you. Rasulullah then told Abu Dharr, go back to your people and convey the message to them. And when you hear that I prevailed, come to me. How long did Abu Dharr stay with Rasulullah? Quite a short time. How much did he learn from him? Probably not a lot. A few verses, a few ahadith here and there, and that was it. Abu Dharr, he went back to his people, Ghifar. And he started giving them da'wah. Slowly and slowly, people were accepting Islam among the people of Ghifar. He said, by the time Rasulullah ﷺ made hijrah, almost half of my tribe were Muslim. The whole tribe of Ghifar. He said, and then we decided to go and visit Rasulullah ﷺ, and the rest of the tribe have said, when Rasulullah ﷺ arrives and when we go and meet him, we will become Muslim. So now the whole tribe is Muslim. All of them are Muslim. The other half just said, we're going to wait. It's a matter of time, but then we will become Muslim, and they did. So one day, when Rasulullah ﷺ was in Medina, they see in the horizon this dust cloud, sign of an army approaching, large group of people. So some of the Sahaba rushed to their weapons, thinking that maybe an army is approaching us. But Rasulullah ﷺ said, kun Aba Dharr, be Abu Dharr. And the prophecy of Rasulullah ﷺ was true. It was Abu Dharr and all of his tribe of Ghifar coming to pledge their allegiance to Rasulullah ﷺ. The entire tribe.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
Now there was rivalry between two tribes, Ghifar and Aslam. When Aslam heard that Ghifar became Muslim and they went and pledged allegiance to Rasulullah ﷺ, they immediately went to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, we also want to become Muslim. Two tribes. Rasulullah ﷺ said, Ghifar, ghafar Allahu laha, wa aslam salamah Allah. Ghifar, may Allah forgive them. And Aslam, may Allah give them peace. All of it started by the work of one man. And how much did this man know? Was he a scholar at the time? No, he just knew a few ayat. Later on, Abu Dharr came to learn a lot. But at that stage, he just spent a few days with Rasulullah ﷺ and that was it. All of Ghifar became Muslim. The last people in the desert that you would expect to accept Islam, they did become Muslim. What can we learn from the story of Abu Dharr? Number one, again, the same lesson is coming up. وَالَّذِينَ اَهْتَدَوْ زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ هُدَى. The ones who search for guidance, Allah will give it to them. Abu Dharr investigated the matter and Allah showed him the light. Showed him the truth. Number two, Rasulullah ﷺ says, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Convey even one verse from me. Whatever you have, convey it, share it, teach it. Don't keep it to yourself. Number three, courage. Abu Dharr is an example of a person who has courage. He wasn't intimidated by the fact that he's a foreigner in Mecca. He stood and he said, I'm a Muslim. And he was proud. And he paid for it dearly. And then he went to his people and he preached the message to them. So this shows you the courage of the personality of Abu Dharr, which is shown again and again and again by the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ. And this reveals to us the inherent qualities that they had. And this is also one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be the bearers of the message. Because they had simplicity and they had courage and they had honesty And they had commitment to a cause. When they believe in something, they commit their lives to it. Number four, verifying the truth. Just because the people say that he's a sorcerer, a liar, a magician, doesn't mean anything. You have to go to the source and verify the information yourself. Allah has given you a mind. Allah has given you intelligence. Use it. Don't just follow what the people are saying. Rasulullah ﷺ says that don't be an imma'ah. And when he was asked what is the meaning of imma'ah, he said, whenever the people say yes, you say yes, and whenever they say no, you say no. Don't just follow. Number five, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهِ حَسَنٍ أَوْ طَلْقٍ. Rasulullah ﷺ says in this hadith, do not belittle any good deed, even if it is as small as smiling in the face of your brother. Don't belittle anything. Whatever good there is, don't consider it to be insignificant. Because everything good is significant, and maybe that small thing will make a difference on the Day of Judgment for you. And it will be the criteria between hellfire and paradise. Maybe one small deed that you would do, which you don't pay any attention to, would tilt the scale to your side, for your favor. And how do we deduct this lesson from the story of Abu Dharr? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he learned very little, and all what he wanted did was propagate the message, and maybe he never expected that this small effort of his would end up causing the whole tribe of Ghifar and the whole tribe of Aslam to become Muslim. Maybe he only felt that he could convince a few group of people, maybe a few of his relatives, but for this work to end up bearing the fruits of two major tribes becoming Muslim, maybe Abu Dharr never thought about that. But you throw the seed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it grow. And I'll mention to you some contemporary examples about how sometimes you would do something very small and you never pay attention to it, but it would make a big difference. And there's a hadith, by the way, that says that a person might speak a word that would please Allah, and they don't pay attention to it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them up levels because of that. And a person might speak a word that will anger Allah, and because of that they will be thrown in hellfire. It's a matter of a word, here or there. There's a brother from Canada. He said that he started having interest in learning religion at a very early age, around the age of 9. He started studying religion. That's quite early. He said, but he was turned away from Islam because of a lesson that he was taught in school about Islam. He was shown some images that turned him away from Islam. And then he said he was going through some problems in his family. His father left and his mother was on drugs. So he said he completely forgot about this issue of religion, even though he had some early interest in it. He said, and then he became a drug user, and then he was promoted to being a drug dealer, and he went to jail at the age of 14. So he had a turbulent life. He said later on, towards my later teenage years, after I came out of jail, he said, I used to go to this park in Canada, it's in the center of the city, and that's where the drug addicts would usually congregate. And we would all smoke and use our drugs, and you'd find needles all over, and that's where we would all come together and get high. He said, so I went there, and I was sitting next to this guy who looked foreign, and I was smoking my dope, and I saw something interesting. He said, the way that this guy next to me used to wrap his marijuana, or hashish, or whatever it was, I'm not very familiar with their specific terms, he said the way he used to wrap it was different. So that caught my eye. I asked him, I see that the way you wrap your hashish or hash is different. Where are you from? He said, I'm from Morocco. He said, so you must be a Muslim. He said, yes, I'm a Muslim. He said, can you tell me something about Islam? Now he's remembering his early years of studying about religion. He said, tell me about Islam. He said, so this Moroccan guy was going through the tenets of Islam and we're all smoking and we're very high, and I mean, he's speaking and I'm just receiving all of that information and absorbing it. I mean, we're both high. He's speaking very well and I'm understanding very well. He said for 2 hours continuously, we were talking about Islam. He said until we ran out of drugs. We had nothing left. He said, and then we continued the conversation for another 2 hours. 4 hours in total. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another person to sit next to us. Subhanallah, it was qadr of Allah. An Algerian person. Who wasn't on drugs or anything. He was just there. He happened to be there. He said he sent us to us to correct whatever mistakes that that person would make. You know, people have different understanding of Islam, so they would correct each other. And whenever one of them would mention something wrong, the other person would correct the false information. He said, we continued the conversation for 4 hours. After that, I became Muslim. He said, now neither did the Algerian or Moroccan person know that I became Muslim. Because I left and then became Muslim on my own. And I stopped using drugs. And I actually met him and he was doing da'wah at the time. When he was telling us his story, there was a group of us. So one of the brothers who was sitting and hearing the story said a bad word about that Moroccan person because of using drugs. This Canadian Muslim brother, his face turned red and he became very upset and angry. And he said, don't speak about him. Because I became Muslim through him. And every single thing that I do, my salah, my siyam, my zakah, my dhikr, every single thing that I do, a copy of it will be deposited in his account. Now, only Allah knows where that person is. He might still be in the park using drugs. He might be lost. And he never knows that in his account is salah and siyam and zakah, they're all deposited and he knows no idea about it. He'll come on the day of judgment and see all of this and not know where it came from. I was in those parks using drugs. Where did all of these good deeds come from? It all happened because of a few words that he said to a drug addict like himself. Now maybe he never knew that this person would become Muslim. Maybe he never intended it. He just was conversing, talking. But he threw something good out there, and these are the fruits of it. So never belittle anything. Maybe there's a small thing that you would do here and there, and this would be the cause of your salvation on the Day of Judgment. While the big things that you're doing, the big projects, the things that you're spending a lot of time on, wouldn't bear such an harvest. And this is something that is in the hands of Allah, so you never know. Therefore, you should do whatever good you can. And leave it out there. Just throw the seeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them grow. But do not belittle anything. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ حَسَنٍ Even if it is as much as smiling in the face of your brother. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
This program has been sponsored by The Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.